Blog Talk Radio.
You're not exactly the guy I can bring home to my mama, but what she don't know won't hurt her. You're so controlling, so demanding, like to take advantage of me.
Radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Men and women listening to this show tonight have more than likely heard this question asked literally dozens of times. Why do so many so-called good girls gravitate towards men who are generally considered to be bad boys? Many men and women have their own unique thoughts, opinions, and theories about why this phenomenon exists in the world of dating and relationships, but at least one author has written an entire 200-plus page book centered on this very theme. He goes into specifics as to why many women, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, old, young, educated, uneducated, tend to find men who are rebellious, egotistical, and in many ways selfish, very romantically and sexually appealing. Who is this man who has his own explanation and words of wisdom designed to help the more nice guy types understand what they're up against and educate the women on ways to break away from their repetitive cycle of always being drawn to the allure of the sexy, edgy, controversial bad boy? His name is Derek Watkins, and tonight Mr. Watkins will be given the opportunity to drop some knowledge and wisdom on both my male and female listeners as he takes time out of his very busy schedule to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, oh my God, is this a Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I got to ask you, though. Do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and bury someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman. But the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, mode one. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode one, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Then what we do after we sip the Amaretta? We start the Harlem River quiver, digging sweet daddy, chopping the crimson blade, hot Sierra serenade, anatomy for seduction, be this
yeah,
ebony
as
justice.
We exit the place with grace, jersey Amaretta, the burst in the clouds, it pours, everything seems better on flats with love, we move, only in the mist, it's slow, it's life, and we can't get enough of this.
This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The Jiki pops the sugar dime, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork and see the bigger and get lit. What? This is it. What? This is it. What? Luchini pulling from the sky. Let's get rich. What? The Jiki pops the sugar dime. Can't quit. What? Now pop the cork and see the bigger and get lit. What? This is it. What?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry, and today is Thursday, November 12th, and tonight's episode should be very, very interesting. You say, why should it be so interesting? Because my guest tonight is here to talk about the whole concept of good girls loving to date bad boys. Now, if you're familiar with my two books, Mode 1 and Upfront and Straightforward, you know that I, too, briefly touch on this phenomenon in the dating world. So needless to say, I'll be paying close attention to see how my guests' opinions, theories, and perceptions compare with my own. And on another level, how he's similar to me is he's known as a face reader and hand reader. And see, if you've read my second book, you know that I kind of lightheartedly brag on being somewhat of an informal physiognomist and personologist and body language expert. So this should be an interesting discussion because we have similarities. So prepare yourself for a very entertaining interview and discussion. Giving props as always. Now, you know I love all my listeners, but I particularly love my chat room listeners. I got Trap Zone Blog Talk Radio. I got Scholar 2414. I got Don Calypso. I got G Will in the house. I got a number of guests in the house. I got Glendon. My man Glendon in the chat room. I got my good friend. She wasn't here. She was not here last week. Heard me. Adrian. Adrian, that's my girl. She's always in the chat room. Diva 362636. I hope you are in good spirits. And Adrian, no jokes about my Bears. No jokes about my Bears. They playing the San Francisco 49ers tonight. I think they're going to win. Right now they're down, but I think they're going to win. I got Delicious Talk in the chat room, and I'm sure some others will make it in the chat room. More special shout-outs will be the lovely, talented Tyler Collins. Tyler, much love to my baby. She makes me laugh harder than any woman I've ever met in my life, Tyler Collins. Tyler. My brother and ace confidant who had a funny contribution to my show last week, Stephen Curry, my cousin J.P. Jones in Chicago, at the ball
in Maplewood, New Jersey, Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam III, No Head, a.k.a. Metal Hayes, Alice Singleton, Nicole Good, Lisa DeNeil, Kathy Holloway Hill, Chad Hunter, all my fellow Blog Talk Radio colleagues, as well as my Facebook buddies. Speaking of fellow Blog Talk Radio colleagues, one of my Gary, Indiana homegirls, Carolyn Mosby Williams, has a new talk radio show on Blog Talk Radio. And next Wednesday, she will be interviewing a young lady named Kimbia Smith Pradia. I hope I pronounced that right. Kimbia Smith Pradia. This young lady was in prison for 6.5 years until former President Bill Clinton granted her clemency. And so that should be a very interesting interview. It ties in with the theme of the show, actually. She kind of got wrapped up with a bad boy, drug dealer, and it led to her going to prison. So her interview with that young lady will be next Wednesday at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific time. That's Carolyn Mosby Williams right here on Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. And she's the author of Unflappable, which is co-authored by Lisa DeNeil. If you've been paying attention on Facebook and on my mo1.net, you know I'm planning to have a dating and relationships workshop in California, Woodland Hills, California, Warner Center Marriott. If you live in the L.A. area, if you plan on visiting in the L.A. area during Christmas, New Year's, it's going to be Saturday, January 2nd. Saturday, mark your calendars, Saturday, January. And again, this ties in with the interview tonight because my guest for the evening, one of his specialties is face reading, which is a form of, you know, body language reading. That's going to be one of our four workshops. We're going to have a workshop on manipulative head games, how to identify manipulative head games, how to read people's body language. We're going to have a workshop on keeping the romantic and erotic sizzle in your relationships. That's right. We're going to have a workshop on how to turn your love life and sex life experiences into a screenplay, a self-help book, or other type of media. So it's going to be a great workshop. Some of the invited speakers is Rael Sims. He's been a guest here on Upfront and Straightforward. Anthony and Melanie Clark, we had a great show back last spring right here on Upfront and Straightforward. And Tim Alexander, the director of Diary of a Tired Black Man. So they all scheduled to speak at the workshop, and it's going to be a great workshop, and I'm looking forward to that. Again, that's Saturday, January 2nd, 2010. Saturday, January 2nd, 2010. Check mo1.net, or I've been promoting also on Facebook. What's up with the Charlotte Hornets firing Byron Scott, man? That's like the second time he didn't get fired. It's rumored because star guard Chris Paul was unhappy. That sounds familiar. Because when he was with the New Jersey Nets, Scott got fired because Jason Kidd was unhappy. Interesting. Speaking of the NBA, there's rumors floating around that Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, they want to play on the same team next year. Will that be in Miami? Will that be in Cleveland? Will that be in New York? We shall see. There's also a rumor, speaking of rumors, that perpetual bad girl Lindsay Lohan was dating Heath Ledger, who played the Joker in The Dark Knight when he died. Supposedly, Heath Ledger was dating Lindsay Lohan. That's interesting to some people. Omarosa used to be on The Apprentice. Remember season one of The Apprentice with Donald Trump? You're fine. Omarosa. She is going to have her own dating show produced by Donald Trump. It's going to be similar to The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. It's going to be kind of in that format. Lord help those guys. Omarosa is a handful. Now, here's where I got to brag on myself again with this body language thing, this whole body language thing. I knew when I first saw her with her then husband on television, I told a friend of mine, I said, I guarantee you within less than a year they're going to be divorced. I guarantee. And sure enough, I think within less than a year later, after she was on that show, her and her then husband were divorced. You could just read it. It was all in the body language. You could just see it in the body language between how they were interacting, and I knew it wasn't going to last. Here's something interesting. In London, Steve and Caroline Cartwright, this is a couple in Britain, are banned from having loud sex. What do you think about that?
Their neighbors complained that their sex was too loud, and now they're banned wherever they live from having loud sex. That is deep. That is deep. That is deep. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to take a quick intermission break, and I'll be right back with my guest for the evening.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. My guest for the evening is a nationally known motivational speaker, trainer, relationship coach, and handwriting and face reading expert that I mentioned earlier, who received his master's degree from Rutgers University and his bachelor's degree from New Jersey City University. His talks on From the Projects to a Penthouse, The Secrets Your Handwriting Reveals is written all over your face, and Handwriting, the Key to Lasting and Loving Relationships, and Love and Sex and Relationships, have made audiences scream for more. Through handwriting reading, he can find the 10 troubled traits. That's a tongue twister. The 10 troubled traits to avoid while dating. Born and raised in a housing project, he has motivated and inspired audiences
all across the country on how to discover their greatness, just like he has discovered his as the nation's leading number one African-American handwriting and face reading expert, and he's also a dating and relationship book author. My guest tonight has analyzed the handwriting of executives, corporate presidents, entertainers, sports figures, as well as just ordinary folk. My guest tonight's enthusiasm and excitement for handwriting analysis and face reading and helping people find the love of their life so that they can have the life that they love has been described by his clients and fans as contagious. He is a very popular speaker and trainer across the country, maintains his office in New Jersey. He is a member of the Neuro-Linguistic Programming Association, Conflict Resolution, Handwriting Analysis, and Relationship and Business Coaching Associations. On behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network, listeners, give it up for my guest this evening, Derek Watkins.
Alan.
What is up, Mr. Watkins?
How are you, my friend? How's everything tonight?
Oh, man, I'm not ready for winter, but other than that, man, I'm cool. Now, you know, you've been a frequent contributor on the show of a former guest of mine. I want you to tell this guest I got beef with him.
Who's that?
I had Albert Butler on my show this summer.
Yeah, my man. Yes,
I had Albert Butler on my show. We had a good time on the show. But okay. As we were wrapping up, he said, man, Alan, I love you being on the show so much. I'm going to have you on my show.
Okay.
And I said, okay, I'm ready for that. Dude, I ain't heard from that brother.
I'll make sure I let him know. I'll let him know about that.
But a lot of the people who listen to Albert's show, they've been writing me emails all week because they're big fans of yours.
Okay.
And first I want to ask you right off the bat, since you got this book about the whole bad boy, was there a certain stretch in your life when the women that Derek Watkins was dealing with was like, Derek, he's so bad, he's a bad boy?
Nah, man, I was the guy that they called the nice guy. I didn't get
really?
All the attention, man. Yeah, I was the nice guy, man. It's so funny because there's certain, Al and I talked about this a lot on his show as well, but there's certain characteristics that a bad boy has that women see that good guys have that women don't see. And I think when women in their early ages in particular, when they're maturing and they're very serious and their parents tell them to do the right thing and watch out for bad guys, this bad guy becomes very attractive to them because he looks fun. He looks like he's having a lot of fun. And women in their early ages aren't necessarily bred to have fun. They're told to watch out about having fun because people take advantage of you because you're a woman. Mm-hmm. So it never lasts. You know, that's one thing I found in talking to women and doing the research for the book. But the interesting thing about it is these guys are attractive. They're fun. They don't worry about what people say to them or worry about fear. They have no fear, no excitement. Thing that I want the women to remember, though, in talking about this, though, is that they're not interested in commitment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're not interested in commitment. They're interested in simply just having fun. And
yeah.
When it gets too serious, that's when they pull a plug.
Now, what you just said, would that, in a nutshell, describe the psychology of the bad boy attraction?
You know, it's a combination. The bad boy attraction, you know, and I saw some stuff recently regarding Chris Brown and Rihanna, and that's been on TV. It actually came out just about when I was wrapping up my book and my book first came out. And the attraction for the bad boy, once again, is he cool. He has a swagger about him. He's quiet. He may not possess a lot of possessions, but he acts as if he does. You know, he talks a good game. He gives the woman what he wants to hear. Good guys, on the other hand, play it real cautious. You know, we don't want to mess it up. and bad guys don't necessarily care about messing up because they don't fear rejection because they realize there's a large selection of women. And women like that type of attitude. It's this attitude that they have, man. And not all of them, you know, end up being thieves or robbers, end up being locked up. Like most people, when they say bad boy, they think of a guy who's criminalistic. We're not talking about those guys, you know. Chris Brown ended up being a bad boy because he couldn't manage his emotions. And he wound up beating on a girl because, you know, he thought that she was disrespecting him when she wanted to look into his phone. You know, and so now he's the ultimate bad boy of our society right now until somebody takes his place. But the thing I want women to remember who are listening to this call is that you grow out of this. You know, it's something to do in your 20s, maybe in your 30s. But if you hook up with a guy who has no direction, who's all about having fun when you're late in your 30s, you're going to find yourself by yourself.
Now, give me 4, 5, maybe even 6 specific unappealing characteristics. Characteristics that, for the most part, are not healthy, that the bad boy, like, for example, you mentioned Chris Brown, so we could say one would be physical abuse. What would be some other attributes that the typical bad boy usually has?
Well, another one would be, besides the potential for abuse, would be that he's fearless. He has no direction. He's about control and power. And the other thing that I think is very fascinating that I find is that the bad boy sees his woman as a doll. And if you know anything about playing with dolls, you have total control over it. When you don't want to play with it no more, you put it to the side. When you want to play with it, you pick it up. You even can take the clothes off the doll, and the doll can't tell you not to take it off because it's your doll. Bad boys see women as dolls, not necessarily as women right away, because they don't have any intention to being committed. So when they finish playing with them, they just put them back on the shelf. So the things I remember that I really like to express is that they have no direction, they're fearless, they value freedom, and they love having fun.
Hmm. Now, there's one attribute you just mentioned that could go both ways, because fearless, that can be considered a strength, a desirable quality, but you say you think that's a undesirable quality?
Right, because fearless means that they're rule breakers. See, a bad boy don't care about the laws that are placed in the world, in our society, that we all have to go by. A bad boy's issue is that don't apply to me. So the fearlessness applies to him saying to himself, look, this is what I'm going to do. I don't care what nobody else says. Women like that attitude. This is early in a woman's life that I find, not necessarily getting older when you start to settle down. But this guy who says, you know what, I don't care what people think. I don't care what people says. What is called keeps it real. That's attractive. You know, and women tend to like a man who's honest, who's straightforward, who doesn't...
Straight, up front and straightforward.
Right. They like that. But see, his whole thing is being straightforward because he knows you like it, but in the end, his straightforwardness doesn't necessarily mean that he wants you long term.
Okay. This is going to be a similar question I just asked, but we've named all these undesirable qualities. So... obviously, if bad boys had just all nothing but undesirable qualities, they wouldn't be attracting the women that they do. So other than what you just mentioned, the fact that they're straightforward, which I totally agree with, I mentioned that actually in my second book about that. I think most bad boys are honest and straightforward. If you diminish the emphasis on some of their bad qualities, what are the appealing qualities that women just tend to find irresistible other than, again, of course, their straightforward honesty?
Well, the funny part about the qualities I just named is that the qualities I just named for the girl who's missing something in her life at this particular time, she sees as being very attractive. Mm-hmm. So his fearlessness is not necessarily negative. The outcome ends up being negative. To her, it's an appeal to her. It's like, wow, this guy says what he wants, does what he wants. The bad boy may have a dream that in the moment is very exciting. You follow me? Like, wow, you know all these people. They could be very popular. They could know people that the girl doesn't know that he can introduce her to. He could expose her to areas in her life that she's never been exposed to at an early age. All this stuff is attractive to her. And the thing that makes it even more interesting is that when a girl hooks up with this particular guy, she starts right out of the way saying, this is my man. And he may even co-sign that by being in the neighborhood in her thinking. But in the end, she may find out that that's not necessarily true because because, once again, for you to be in a relationship, both people have to agree on that. A bad boy in his whole makeup is not necessarily in a relationship in the end. He's just interested in the moment. So these appealing factors that I mentioned that appear to be not appealing are virtually appealing in the beginning. They're not appealing as you go along, because what happens is physical attraction is the first thing you see when you meet somebody. Mm-hmm. After you spend some time with them, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 months, 6 months, 8 months, the personality shows up. So all that stuff that pulled you in doesn't necessarily keep you there.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you say all bad boys are verbally, emotionally, and or physically abusive?
You know what? No, I think all men have that potential, depending on, you know, what's going on in their life. It's not a bad boy, a good boy when it comes to abuse. I think what happens is when a man is insecure and he feels he has lost control of his woman's interests, lost control of his personal life, she could be outgrowing him and he's not feeling that he's accomplishing much. The only thing left we have as men is our physical presence. And no matter what woman we're with, no woman is more stronger physically than a man, regardless of what she thinks in her head. So when a guy is insecure and he's not really making efforts and making gains in his life that he should be, when in doubt, he can always take a chance and step on his woman's head if he wanted to. And what happens is these bad boys don't necessarily look towards the future. They live in the past and they deal in the present. They don't necessarily talk about what they're going to do. So if they lose sight and control of their present situation, and because they can't see what's going to happen because they don't plan very well, they can become abusive because of that. The insecurity that I'm going to lose her, and I can't have that now because she's the one who gives me my confidence.
Mm-hmm. Similar question, would you say that the vast majority of bad boys are always selfish, egotistical, and rebellious?
Oh, those qualities would make them nice, man. Selfishness, girls like that. You know, when you're selfish, you're just saying to her, it's all about you. You know, I don't care what nobody else say. Don't worry about what they say. I adore you. Those qualities, once again, there's no good or bad when it comes to those certain qualities, just how you use them. To be a bad boy, you got to be arrogant. You got to be selfish. You got to be me first and everybody else last. And sometimes that's what makes them so appealing at the right time with the right good girl. A woman who knows some direction, who has figured out what she wants from a man, who understands that love is a process, it's not an event, may not be attracted to him, but she'll see right through him right away.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of that, seeing right through somebody, I didn't know until recently that you were this expert face reader and as is formerly known as a physiognomist. What could a woman just look at a man other than, say, sagging baggy pants and crazy tattoos? What can women look at in a man and be able to say, okay, I know he's a bad boy?
Well, one thing about women that men don't have is women read body language better than men. And the reason why is because women tend to, they bore the children. After 9 months, they carry the kids. And the first way you learn body language is watching little infants. Women can tell right away that a baby just born and to a certain age, when they're hungry, when they're sleepy, just by looking in the face because they can't talk. Mm-hmm. So women, that intuition that we say they have is the ability to read body language, the ability to read attitudes. And I think a lot of women use that well, and a lot of women turn it off because if they're not comfortable in their present situation, they tend to not trust it, for example. So face reading, the skill has been around for maybe 3,000-4,000 years. I learned it because I wanted to further my communication skills. I'm a communication expert, and I coach people on how to develop relationships in business and in life. And one of the things I teach them is, you know, when you walk in the room and you want to know who the person is who has the most power, even though he may not have the he may not be the president, he may have influence, just look for the person with the biggest nose. The person with the biggest nose tend to have the most power because he's the one who's outspoken. There's some characteristics.
Really?
Yeah. You know, in California, for example, where you know, people, all the actors are at. And people talk about sex appeal in actors. You know, the actors who have the sex, have the sex appeal, it's not necessarily in the lips, it's the philtrum. And if you know anything about the philtrum, it's that groove that's right underneath the nose that looks like it's two lines and has a dip in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the philtrum. That is what is called your sex zone. The deeper and wider that is, the more sexual drive that you possess. Okay? So if you notice anything about the actors today and you look at them, they have facial hair that's underneath their chin, but you can always see that philtrum underneath their nose. Because actors actually know a lot about face reading, because a lot of the producers and executives pick their actors based upon sex appeal. And they look for that type of trait. So face reading is fascinating, man. And I can sit across from somebody and not even talk to them and know everything about them in 5 seconds. And then when I walk up to them, I just have a conversation about the things I just looked at, the things I just found. And it's kind of scary when people hear about it, because women in particular think I have an edge if I'm trying to, you know, conversate and coach them. They say, "Why do you know so much about me? I don't know nothing about you." Well, you have to learn face reading, I guess.
Well, you know, it's funny, I started out telling my listeners this, me and you are similar, although I will acknowledge you're probably on a higher level than me because you probably got, I don't know, maybe some foreign training or something. But I've had that trait to a degree because ever since I was young, I've had friends tease me because I can size people up real quickly. And that's why I love the show The Mentalist, because he has this way where he can just study somebody's body language in, say, 5 or 10 minutes. And he'll be able to just, you know, name traits that they have. And they'll be like, "Man, how did you know that?"
Right.
And I've done that with certain, particularly with women. I can just look at certain women and be able to surmise things about their background, like social habits, type of men they've interacted with, their typical behavior. So that is something that's very real, the body language thing, is that, yeah, when you've done it for a while, you just tend to pick up these little nuances of people. And but, yeah, I find that fascinating. And I would think it does give you, as you said, the women say it gives you an edge. Yeah, I think it does give you an edge, because the one thing I think it definitely gives you edge, you're less likely to have somebody pull the wool over your eyes when you have that type of talent.
Right, right. I can agree with that. I think the thing that people need to remember is, when we're communicating face to face, 55% of the way we communicate is our body language, 38% is our voice tone, and 7% is our words. But people tend to listen more for words instead of listening to how a person says things versus the position that they hold their body in, because that tells you if it's true or not. Mm-hmm. So body language and voice tone together make up 93% of the way we communicate. So you can be all fancy with your words all day, but I know there's somebody on this line that's listening to us right now has heard someone say to them, "I love you," and said to themselves, "No, you don't. You don't mean that." Well, he said it. He said the words. Well, how do you know he's lying? Because you looked at the way he used his body and the voice tone. That's what told you he wasn't honest about it. So everybody knows about what we're talking about. We've just mastered it to a degree where we think about it on a conscious level. But subconsciously, everyone has the potential to do what I do. You just have to pay attention to it and trust it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Now, getting back to the whole bad boy thing, would you say when a young man is dealing with a woman who's between, I don't know, 16 and 29, would you say if he's a branded the nice guy, he's always going to finish last?
So older woman, younger guy theory?
Well, I didn't put an age on the guys, but I'm saying this is alluded to what you said about how women, mainly it's the young women who gravitate towards the bad boys. And I'm saying, so when you're dealing with a woman who's relatively young, you know, late teens, 20s, and not a bad boy type, you're a nice guy type, are you just kind of assed out in the dating scene?
Well, I will say when I talk about young, I'm actually talking about experience.
Okay.
Women, girls are often, for the most part, a little sheltered and protected, particularly by their fathers, particularly in their lives, and mothers try to keep them sheltered too because they understand the dangers that men possess. But when we talk about inexperience, it's not necessarily age. It could be someone who's actually 21, 22 years old, and for the first time she goes out into a club, but because she has never gone out into a social arena before, she can't recognize who are the men who may be dangerous and the ones that may be okay. So unless she's introduced to a nice guy, she has to leave it up to her own experience who's nice and who's not. So who do most people get their experiences from? Well, you got these videos on TV. You got these music videos. You have these shows. You have these artists who all in this generation that we have talk about certain things. So you leave it up to that media to teach you about men, which is not a good reference. So when it comes to a good guy, he's the guy who's clean cut. He smiles, appears to be confident but not arrogant. He's very polite. You know, he'll let you talk. He won't, you know, cut you up. I mean, there's a lot of potential characteristics here. It's just that he looks boring. That's the one characteristic I found when I was talking to women about why they selected this guy over this guy. He looks boring. He appears to be a little bit more exciting.
Okay. Listeners, if you have a question or a comment you want to contribute to the conversation, the number is 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. I'm going to let Derek get a swig of water, and we're going to take an intermission break. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about why good girls love to date bad boys, and I want to ask him about the James Bond mentality. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Thank you.
the listeners know there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Now return to my interview with relationship coach, book author, and motivational speaker, Derek Watkins, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to tonight's episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I'm here conversing with not only a motivational speaker, not only a dating and relationships book author, but some would call him arguably the nation's number one African-American face reading expert and handwriting expert. His name is Derek Watkins, and he has a few books out, but the main book we're discussing tonight is a book that has the title, Why Good Girls Date Bad Boys. Why Good Girls Date Bad Boys. And I see a caller in the queue, area code 347, area code 347. You're now Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Derek Watkins. What's your question and or comment?
Okay, my comment is basically answering the question about why do girls date bad boys. Sometimes we approach the situation, or we get into the situation, and we're not sure if the guy's a bad boy, which I would call them sleepers. You understand? They don't show their bad boy acts at the beginning. Everybody, you don't meet that person at the beginning. You only meet their representative. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's only the first act that you get for probably 2 to 3 months, sometimes to a year. And you have men that just start coming out with the bad boy attitude. They've been a bad boy, but we're not sure. We're already stuck into the situation, and we're like, okay, maybe it's just a phase he's going through right now or something, and we stick with it. Sometimes we know that he's not going to change, and it's just up to us to get tired of him and leave him. And some of us never do that.
Well, you know what? That thinking right there is what makes the bad boy so unpredictable. I'll use that. The thing to remember here is that when you first meet a guy, you have to control the outcome. If you let him control the outcome, he can give you whatever he wants to give you. And a lot of women have similar thinking that you have in respect to not seeing right away how he really is. If you ask the right questions in the right order with the right timing, you can find out right away what this person's thinking is about you. You need to know what is his interest in you. So,
but how do you – I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
How do you know? It's just how do you know? And this is where they keep telling – they tell the females, don't – bring in what happened in your last relationship and say, is this guy? Sometimes you could be, all right, like as, for example, me. At 16 years old, I met my husband. We just broke up when I was 32 years old, and I'm 34 years old now. It's like I'm going into a new world. You understand? I don't know who's playing games, who's for real, who just wants the booty, you know, and it's scary.
Well, let me give you a little insight. Actually, you know a little bit more than most people know because you've actually been in a relationship that was long-term and probably had some successful moments. So you know, you should know what you're looking for. What you got to keep in mind is that don't go out looking for a person who has certain values that you want. What you want is a person to treat you a certain way, and based upon how you want to be treated, you ask your questions on that. So it's simply saying, asking a guy right away, you could be standing just casually talking, and say to him, look, if you were with a woman that you really liked, how would you show her that you love her? I guarantee you, if he's interested in you in terms of proceeding towards a committable relationship, he can answer that question. If he can't, he's probably going to stumble. Because one thing women, let me say this and I'll let you make a comment to that. The thing to remember here is men have very big egos. Women have very big emotions. What we don't do right away is we show you our emotions. We show you our egos right away, but we don't show you our emotions. And what you want from the guy as soon as possible is for him to show how sensitive he can possibly be to what your needs are and if he can meet them. And it's simply just asking. It really is. It's not waiting. And sometimes you guys wait too long. And then when you finally say something, it's too late now.
But it's just so many women out here have messed it up for the good girls. And this is why many of the good girls are turning bad. So many women have really messed it up, you know, because they go out there, they're gold digging, and there is a good guy out there. They mess up his mind, and now his mind is corrupted, and now he thinks every female is going to be just like the last one, just like a female does, and is bringing into the next relationship. You're bringing, what you call it, baggage?
No, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think what you have to keep in mind is that men without egos, we don't let women mess us up like that. Keep in mind that you got to individualize your pick. This is all about you. This is not about another woman and what she did to the guy. This is about how you can treat him. If you run across a guy that has some potential, make it known very early before you have sex with him so that you can control the outcome. When you have sex with a guy, before you know what his issue is for you, what his desires are for you, you are lost for a second because we are all about getting to that as soon as we possibly can. And if you give it to us so too soon before you tell us what you want from us, you're going to be caught out there. And that's why women are so battered, broken, and baggage carrying around all the time is because they let their emotions dictate their steps. You can't do that. You got to think.
So, okay, tell me this. A man that just gets out of a situation, say either his marriage, engagement, or a girlfriend, what do you say when he tells the new female that he's seeing that, oh, I just got out of this situation, and, you know, and...
That's what the guy is saying?
Yeah, that's what the guy is saying.
So he's saying he just got out of a situation and he wants to take it slow, something like that.
He never said take it slow, but he's just like he's in another situation. And he just got out of this situation and he's trying, you know, he's not ready to jump into another situation.
Okay, that's called game. Okay, let me just put it out there. That's called game. He doesn't tell you that. That's called straight up manipulation, right? And some of the guys may not like the fact that I'm dropping this and putting the secret out there, but it is what it is. If you know what you want, why would you sit there and allow a guy to tell you, well, I'm in a complicated situation. I'm trying to work it out. I don't know what I want to do. And you should be simply saying, okay, when you fix that, come see me. If I'm available, I'm available. But if I'm not, I'm not. So this is what I'm talking about controlling your outcome. You're letting him.
Yeah, but this person, say for instance, okay, this person chills with you, right? You see them at least 4 times a month, 5 times a month.
So you're seeing him already?
You're seeing them already. And it's about five, you've seen them at least like 5 times a month, and everything they do seems romantic, which other dudes don't do. You understand?
Okay, so I got a question.
But they're telling you they don't want a situation. So that right there is confusing. You don't want a situation, but you want to see me all the time. What's that about?
It's not confusing. See, this is where women kill me at. It is not confusing. He told you straight up that he doesn't want to be in the situation with you. So if you decide to pursue him like that, he's going to say, didn't I tell you I didn't want nothing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's telling you. So if you want something that he doesn't want, you
mm-hmm.
should do the right thing, which is say, no, thank you. He's telling you all this just to set you up to let you know that if you do some things with me that I want to do, and then all of a sudden you say you want more, you cannot say I did not warn you about what
mm-hmm.
I was into and what I was doing. This is
okay.
called game.
Okay.
So he's telling you. I'm a man. This is true man talk right here. This, understand what I'm telling you. This guy is trying to tell you that if we get into something and your heart gets deep into me, the moment you say you want more, you cannot say I did not tell you what my interest was.
Okay, but
okay.
Now my girlfriend is here telling me to ask a question. Okay, when you meet a guy and a guy asks you, the first question, I'm sorry, I'm going to stop.
Question, I got to tell you.
Okay, I'm sorry. When a guy asks you at the beginning what you're looking for, right,
mm-hmm.
and they mention, they say, what are you looking for, engagement, you're looking for a man or you're looking to get married, what
mm-hmm.
kind of question is that for a guy to be asking at the beginning? What are they looking for? What are their mindset?
The man just, for me, the question is just a conversation piece, because the truth is, if you're controlling the outcome, he can ask you anything he wants. You have to know what you're looking for. It's not about him trying to figure out, well, if she's looking for a man, then I'm not that guy. We can just be friends, because that's the man's perspective. If you're looking for more than what he's looking for, he then can settle in and say, well, I'm just going to see her now, then I'm out. One of the things that you guys do that you have to control is that when you go out with a guy, one, maybe two, maybe three times, he is not your man. He is not your man. You are dating to see if he has the potential to be your man. Take it slow. It don't matter what he asks you. You got to know what you're doing. So if you wanted to, if you're asking me how to answer that question, all I can simply say is be honest. Just be honest.
Yeah. Thank you, area code 347, for calling. You know, that's funny that he brought that up. I can honestly say, maybe just I'm a different cookie in the box, I don't think I've ever asked a woman that question.
Mm.
What are you looking for? Because
right.
to be blunt about it, I don't give a damn what a woman's looking for. I don't. All I care about is what my desires, interests, and intentions are. And I feel like whatever my desires, interests, and intentions are, once I express them, they're
right.
either going to be reciprocated or they're going
right.
to be rejected.
That's pretty much that. Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Every now and then
you'll get a guy who try to get all smooth with it and ask them types of questions, you know. And once again, he's just taking a long route to the goal. That's all he's doing.
Yeah, that's – but, yeah, that was good stuff. Now, I want to ask you – this caught my eye because my older brother's a big James Bond fan. He got emails with 007, everything's 007. So I'm
right.
curious, what is the James Bond mentality and how does it relate to the whole bad boy phenomenon?
Well, you know what? I'm a James Bond man myself. I love Sean Connery as James Bond, man. I think in my world, he was the best one. We've had about three or four. But I started to look at men, and when I was researching the book, I said, you know what? The James Bond mentality is the highest ranking for bad boys. Because James Bond is dangerous. He loves danger. He's strong. He's sexy. He's a great lover. He has this thinking that says he's extremely confident. No matter what he does, it's going to turn out right. He's an alpha male, you know, that alpha male who thrives on power and control.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing about him that women like is this existential of being a bad boy. He don't necessarily want a relationship. He lets that be known. But he has no problem making you feel happy in that particular moment. Mm-hmm. I think what makes him so special also is that he's attractive. Mm-hmm. He's an alpha male. And he walks around in these nice suits. He has what is called his swagger about him. He has his sex appeal. He has these great one-liners, and he can make you laugh one moment. The next minute, moment, he's standing in front of you being very protective. Safety and security are one of the high profiles that women want to see in their man. And this guy is the ultimate person when it comes to protecting his woman. I mean, who wouldn't fall for this guy if he was a woman? But the bottom line is, he's not there with you to marry you, and he makes that known. He said, look, I'm doing this. I can treat you nice and show you a nice time, but make no mistake about it, this is only temporary.
Exactly. Well, you know, I have to confess, I asked you at the outset, you know, did you have your bad boy phase? I have in different periods of my life. Matter of fact, I had a woman, and you'll hear this in the next intermission break because I use it as an excerpt, but I had a woman on my show named Nakia Crawford, mm-hmm. and we were talking about stuff related to this, and she asked me directly, you know, was I a bad boy and or had I been a bad boy? And it's funny because, to me, there's so many different facets of a bad boy.
Right, right.
At least in my opinion. On one end, I told her, I said, I've never been a bad boy in terms of, like, breaking the law and exhibiting criminal behavior mm-hmm. or, you know, skipping school or doing drugs. But the one area where I've been categorized by women, and I would even acknowledge myself, is similar to something you just said about the James Bond type. He lets women know. He's not deceptive with his lack of desire for a relationship. He lets the women know. And I'm the type of guy, for most of my life, when I've been interested in casual sex, I rarely deviate from that. I don't jump from casual sex to serious and serious to casual. I pretty 95 to 99% of the time, if I know my interest is casual sex, that's all you get. And the thing women respect about is that I, as the title of my show, I'm up front straightforward about it. I tell a woman, I say, hey, I'm just looking to exchange orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't looking for nothing else. If you're looking for something emotionally profound, I'm the wrong brother for you. But what's interesting, some women, you can tell that, I think you know this, you could tell a woman that, and that might be what she's looking for, something more serious. But I've had times when I told a woman, like, hey, I ain't going to marry you. I ain't going to even be your boyfriend. I'm just going to exchange orgasms with you. And at first they'll complain, like, oh, yeah, you should be looking for something more. But then they would give in to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, inevitably either them or their friends would say, you know, leave him alone. He's such a bad boy. He's a bad boy. But, yeah, I was never trying to impress the woman or get her to tell her girlfriends that I was this great guy, this sweet guy who brought the flowers at the door. Now, on the flip side, what's interesting, though, on the flip side, when I've been genuinely romantically interested in a woman, I found myself almost being 180 degrees opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would drop a lot of those kind of bad boys. I would still be honest and straightforward,
sure,
but I would
sure.
be more, you know, caring and want to spend time with them all the time. And so it's this whole concept is very interesting. And I know from being a book author, I get asked this question so many times by my male readers. They're like, you know, they're typically the guys who are not the bad boy. They want to know, what can I learn from the bad boys that will improve my game? They love to use that word you used earlier, game. They want to know, how can I improve my game? So I want to ask you,
Sure.
what can a nice guy who feels like he doesn't really have any bad boy in him, but he wants to take some of their desirable attributes but not be, you know, he's still looking for the relationship. He's not looking to just, you know, hit it and quit it.
Right.
But what can he study in the bad boy that can help him improve his, quote-unquote, game?
Well, I can give you actually four, maybe five things. The first thing is, When you're looking to find someone, and good guys are always looking for a nice woman because we tend to think that way sometimes. When you stop dressing, and this is so important, and you could probably relate to this, Alan. The bad boys today, the young adults today, maybe some adults that are older, take too much pride in dressing like each other. When I was growing up and I put on some clothes, I was dressing to look nice for for the girls, for the women.
Yeah.
So I wasn't interested in what my male friends were wearing. I was interested in how I'd be perceived by looking at the women. Mm-hmm. If you look around today, a lot of the young adults, a lot of the adults who are not as mature as males right now, are dressing for other men, wearing the saggy pants, wearing the long shirts. It's just amazing to me. And then the women fall for those guys anyway. So if a good guy wants to set himself apart, some of the traits he can pick up is, if you walk into a room, make sure when you go out, whether it's a club, it's networking, it could be simply going into the store, like a supermarket, because you can find a lot of women in the supermarket or even in the Home Depot, because women, single women go to the Home Depot. What you want to do is look your best based upon that environment that you're in. Don't be cut up to the point where if your friends are wearing jeans, that doesn't mean you can't wear jeans and a nice jacket with a nice shirt underneath that. The people who look the best get the most attention. People look to them very quickly. Secondly, when you walk in a room, walk slowly, because walking slow is sexy. We walk fast, and we need to slow down sometimes. It's almost like the first thing we want to do is get a drink. When you walk into a room, walk slowly and walk towards the middle of the floor. The action, all eyes zoom on the middle of the floor. The people who stand in the middle get the most attention. If there's an environment where there are tables on the side, we tend to want to sit in the back. I don't sit in the back of nothing. I sit as close to the front as possible because people are always looking towards the front, okay? The other thing that you want to do that bad boys do right away is bad boys don't think about what a girl's going to say to him if he walks up to her. The thing that I know, when you want to meet someone you don't know, you have to count 1, 2, 3, and go. If you get the 3 seconds and you haven't moved yet, you're going to talk yourself out of it.
Ooh, that is
sometimes
so true.
Sometimes we think too much about what we're going to say. Just go over there, smile, make eye contact, shake the girl's hand, and say hello. But make sure you smile behind that, okay? And just talk. Ask a lot of questions. When you're asking questions, and this we do as men, we tell our whole world out, but we don't listen. Women like men who know how to listen. If you cannot listen to them, you cannot connect to them. And if you cannot connect to them, they do not want to be with you.
Mm-hmm. We got area code 215. Area code 215. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest tonight, Derek Watkins. What's your question and or comment?
Yeah, I just want to say, yeah, this is a good show that you guys got. And I just want to say that I would think that the reason why a lot of girls go for the bad guys first a lot is because I would say a lot of women really don't know what they really, really looking for. And I would say that the bad guys is more easy to just go up to them more than the guys that's good, because guys that's good, they looking for women to come up to them.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait,
good,
know,
the bad guys.
Wait, say
like,
that again now.
I would say that the guys that's good, it's a lot of them is like just waiting for women to come up to them. They don't approach them. They let for girls to approach them. Then them go up to a girl because they think they're so good. You know. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Interesting. You know what? I can see a lot of that happening. But the one thing about being a good guy is that our focus, the good guy's focus, is not necessarily all on women. You know, follow me. They could have focus on other things in their life, and having a woman is either taken here or there with them, so they don't move right away.
The guy's
focus is straight on women. You know, their number one goal is to hit it and quit it and plant their seed around the world as often and as long as possible. With a good guy, he could be in college, he could have a nice job, he could have other things that's just not his focus right away. So he tends not to move fast and wait, which is not a necessary sign of arrogance. It just means that he's not interested. He's just sitting there chilling, you know. So, but I find that bad guys, you know, their number one prowess when they're out there looking is to get with women. And women is what they're looking for. Women is what they're interested in. That's their goal.
Okay. Thank you for calling in, 215.
Thanks a lot, bro.
Let me see if this other call, I don't know if they're just listening or got it. Area code 7, 704. Are you just listening or do you have a question or comment?
Well, I mean, I'm listening, but I can always comment.
Okay.
What's going on?
Well, if you got to come, what's your first name?
This is Spike Spielberg, man.
Oh, what's up, Spike? What's up, brother?
Yeah, some support here tonight, man. You know,
I appreciate that, man.
I mean, I'm working on the computer, so I can't get an opportunity to listen from the computer. So I told him to call in and listen. But you can put me on the spot now, so I got the comments.
Well, first, let me give you a blast out. Listeners, if you're not familiar, he's a fellow Blog Talk radio host, filmmaker, Spike Spielberg. His show comes on Thursday evenings as well. And, yeah, I'm listening to quite a few of his shows. He has great high-energy interviews, both with people in the film industry as well as people sometimes in my niche of the world, dating and relationships. But go ahead, Spike. What's your comment?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, you know, this whole topic, man, is a great topic, by the way, man. You know, and I think that one of the reasons that especially in today's society, people are—they've been pushed this image, you know, of what's being bad is good. We've been tricked or deceived almost into thinking what is bad is good, and people are justifying this stuff. You know, you see the images that you see on television. You know, all of these guys are, you know, tattoos. You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. You know, having tattoos or anything, but the images that's being portrayed, you know, the big rims, the gold chains, the gold teeth, you know, these are the people that look, you know, when you see it, it look like they're having fun. So many people try to emulate this in society. And so it makes it like, okay, I'm going to gravitate to this particular image. So it's like if you go to any, you can go to any nightclub across the United States, and you will see it looks just like the music video that you see on BET. Same activity. I mean, where people get off wearing sunglasses inside a dark building, I don't know. But, hey, you know, if it works for them, it works for them. You know? The thing about it is it's like it's this image that's been pushed to us. So the women, they want to gravitate to that. And you see many of them, they look the same way as these videos as well. So it's like people are recreating these fantasies in society, man, and playing it out. And it's not good because they've taking God out of the equation when it comes to make choices and decisions about their relationships, and that'll never ever prosper.
Right. I mean, you said a key
Derek,
word
what's your thoughts on what Spike just said?
Yeah, I was just thinking, Spike said a key word in there. The key word is image. You know, the bad boy is an image. It's not the individual. And women get caught up sometimes in these images, and as they go down the road and they start to date this guy, they find out that he may not have a job, he lives with his mother, his friend takes him to all the places he wants to go. He doesn't have his own car. He doesn't have what is called responsibility, because bad boys by trait are irresponsible. They don't have any responsibilities that make them into men. They act what I call very mannish. And the biggest point that Spike talked about is that they're not even touched with God. They don't even know God because, you know, if they knew him, they would know how to treat women, because you got to treat women like you want to be treated. And it's so amazing. You know, TV, the media has taught these men and women that hard, being hard, is cool. Back in the day, cool was cool. But today, the harder you look, the cooler you are. And that has tarnished the whole thing in terms of how men and women, you know, relate right now.
That's a valid point. Thank you, Spike. For calling in. Now, I want to ask you, what distinguishes a slow-moving woman from a fast-moving woman?
In respect to letting you know what her interest is?
I saw that in an excerpt of your book. You had a chapter that said two types of women, slow-moving woman and a fast-moving woman.
Well, you know what? A fast-moving woman knows what she wants.
Okay.
You know, she knows what she wants. She has all those things that she don't necessarily need you to provide, and because of that, she can pretty much says what she wants to you as soon as possible. So, and this could be a dangerous situation, because men, as men, we want to be able to
provide, protect, and profess where we're at with you as often as possible. Sometimes fast-moving women tend to want to dictate the pace. And when they want to dictate the pace, they tend to rob the man of what he believes is his position, which is to oversee how things are going to go. Unfortunately, today, a lot of men have lost their direction, and women have found themselves being the male, the mother, and the father, for example, and have been used to saying, I got this job, I have this power, and they can talk to you like they sometimes talk to their workers at work. The slow-moving woman is a person who can be sure herself, but she's a little cautious. She's probably the woman who's probably watching your steps, watching how you talk to her, making sure that you don't make any mistakes. And she's in control, too, but she's just saying to herself, I've been down this road before, and I'm not going to let anyone, you know, mislead me. And what happens is when you move too slow for a man, once he lets you know what his interest is, he's going to move on. He's going to move on. He's not going to hang around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How significant do you think the fear of abandonment plays into the minds of women who gravitate towards bad boy types?
You know, that's interesting. And that's exactly what it is, the fear. Fear is not facts. I always tell people this. Fear is not facts. If you allow your fear to get into your mind based upon your past experiences and what you've gone through, you will deliver what is called a self-fulfilling prophecy that this person will leave you because you will do the things that will bring that into light. So being abandoned starts out with women with maybe being abandoned by their fathers. If a woman has been abandoned by her father and has not grieved and dealt with that process effectively, she will think that every man that comes into her life that she thinks is supposed to nurture her, not just necessarily grow with her, is eventually going to leave her. And she will walk in those steps. So anyone listening tonight, you know, abandonment is a serious thing. And the fear of it is even more serious because, again, guys will give you what you're looking for. If you think I'm going to leave, well, I'm going to do what I got to do, and I'm going to leave. It's not complicated at all. So I hope that, you know, some counseling could be necessary here. Some women go through life with this fear their whole life and never get it dealt with, and it starts sometimes at home. And what happens is they get abused and wind up having kids too soon. They wind up being single parents in bad situations with men who abuse them, all because he's going to leave me. And this is the other part. If I think he's going to leave me, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that he doesn't. And that sometimes leads to the domestic violence stuff, because then if he beats me, that means he loves me and he won't leave me, like my father did, for example.
Okay. Listeners, if you have more questions and comments for my guest for the evening, you can call in 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. About to go to another intermission, but before I do, I'm going to put you on the spot, Derek. I don't know if you've listened to any previous shows, but I have a tradition here where started out as this lighthearted thing, but now pretty much all my guests, before I go to one of my intermission breaks, they take the title of my book, which is Mode 1, and they stretch out the O's. So a lot of my listeners like to say, Mode 1. So I want to hear Derek Watkins do his best rendition of Mode 1.
Mode 1.
Mode 1. Alan Roger Curry.
Up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Again, don't go anywhere. I'll be right back in about roughly 4 minutes with more questions for Derek. Well, first, I got to ask you, Derek, do you have some time to stick around? Because sometimes my show goes 90 minutes, and if it was going 90 minutes, I'd be wrapping up in about 5 minutes. But Can you stick around an extra 20, 25 minutes, or you
yeah, got I'm good. I hang with you, Alan. I'm good.
Okay. Right. Well, then, yeah, when we get back from intermission, I got more questions, and I'll be taking more calls. And, oh, this intermission break, you'll hear the clip I was talking about. It relates to this discussion because a woman was on my show named Nakia Crawford, and she asked me this summer. We had a show that dealt with the whole Steve McNair issue and a couple other things, and she asked me, did I feel like I was a bad boy or had I been a bad boy? And I gave her my response. But I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You having a hard time paying bills? Are you still waiting for the stimulus money to trickle down to your pocket? Well, you don't have to wait any longer. By joining ARD Network, you'll be able to lower your utility bills while making an income for yourself for sharing on your utility bill reduction program with your friends and family. Stop paying high prices for electric and gas service. Let us lower your utility bills while helping you earn money from sharing this opportunity with your friends. Call 301-534-9246 now. For the first 100 callers, we'll waive your membership fee and start you on your way to lowering your utility bills and putting more money in your pocket. Your stimulus has finally arrived. Call 301-534-9246 to become a member and start saving and making money today.
Mo Wine.
I never really looked at myself as a quote-unquote bad boy, at least not in all regards. I mean, I ain't never robbed no bank, and I ain't never skipped 2 weeks of school. So in terms of just various facets of my behavior, I wouldn't necessarily call myself this. But yeah, when it comes to sex, I've definitely been that guy.
Because
I will push a woman's boundaries.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think most women are waiting for a man to do that. Most women want a man to do that. Most women that are coming up in the day and age where a woman is supposed to be the good girl have this idea that a man is going to bring that out of her, and she's hoping that he will. Unfortunately, a lot of men, I won't say a lot of men, but some men have no idea what they're doing. And so they're not able to get that out of her. And then everybody's frustrated. She's frustrated. He's frustrated. Nobody knows why it's not working. But women are like, go ahead. Like, blindfold her and just take her wherever you want to take her. She's waiting for a man to command that. So because she can't, you know, in some cases, be that free to say, okay, blindfold me and take me wherever you want to take me. And it's because in some way she's afraid of where you might take her. You know, depending on what the relationship is like with him and how much she trusts him. And in other cases, she just doesn't know how to say that herself.
No woman wants a man that can't lay it down in the bedroom. Period. Period. And, you know, women, we go through this, oh, I want to be held and I want to cuddle and I want to talk. Yeah, we want to do all of that. But when it comes down to it, we want to be climbing off the ceiling just like everybody else does.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Now return to my interview with relationship coach, book author, and motivational speaker Derek Watkins on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. We've been going at it
for about an hour and a half now. We've been having an interesting discussion with Derek Watkins from New Jersey. He is a motivational speaker. He inspires his clients to greatness and greater achievement. He's also a dating and relationships book author. He helps men and women try to find the love of their life. And then what's really unique, because I don't meet too many brothers and sisters in this area, in this field, but he is a body language expert. He's was formerly known as a physiognomist, which is a person who reads your facial expressions and your facial characteristics, and from that they can surmise what type of character you have, what type of traits you have. I want to give some love right now. I already gave love at the beginning of my show, my chat room, but I see there's some people in the chat room that weren't here earlier. The Miss Mo Show is in the chat room. Miss Mo Show, Rach Garrett is in the chat room. Primal Don is in the chat room. Ms. Buff is in the chat room. Miss Computer Lady is in the chat room. James 365 is in the chat room. Karen 101 is in the chat room. You know, Diva, that was Diva. I'm going to call out. That was her on that excerpt in this last intermission break when she said, every woman wants a man who can lay it down in the bedroom. That was my friend Adrian, otherwise known in the chat room, is Diva 362636. Cruiser24 is one of my most loyal listeners, supporters. Much love to you, Cruiser. Bro Kenny and Friends is in the chat room. Teeing Off On is in the chat room, and a number of guests are in the chat room, and I'm glad to have you. And again, I'm sitting here conversing with Derek Watkins, and he's been providing me with some great feedback, and I have a number of other questions. Derek, real briefly, I want you to describe these three phases, starting with briefly describe the tension-building phase of a relationship with a bad boy. Uh-oh, wait. I'm not getting any sound. Hold on, Derek. Technical difficulties. Uh-oh. Wait. Okay, there you are. You should be on right now. Derek, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Sorry about that. I had some technical difficulties. Okay. Briefly describe the tension-building phase of a relationship with a bad boy.
You know, the tension-building phase with a bad boy is that phase where you're not quite sure if you want to be with him. It's interesting because once he starts to take that, because women hope that bad boy image, that got them, but they don't necessarily want that long term. So the tension is, when is it going to stop? When is it going to end? And for the bad boy, he has no direction. That's all he got. He don't have nothing else. That's his one characteristic. He has nothing else to fall on. So what got you there is what you don't like. Well, that's all you have right now. The tension is, when is it going to end? You know, when am I going to see someone who can now, instead of, you know, being rough and tough, be a little sensitive and meet what I decide, which is what women want men to do, my emotional needs. Bad boys aren't necessarily interested in your emotional needs.
I agree. Hello, did I lose you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you. Okay, next, going to briefly describe the cute battering phase.
Oh, yeah. Now, the cute battering phase, man, is the phase where the person now has decided that the best way for him to make love to you is to do it with his fist. To do it with yourself, with ruining and bringing down your self-esteem. This is the area where the woman has now lost her soul, is now doesn't know what to do, knows she's being battered, but doesn't quite know how to stop it, don't quite want to tell anybody about it, don't quite want to go to the police because she don't want to get him in trouble. It's that battering syndrome that women go through, man, where their self-esteem gets so low that they're just empty. And once this particular guy knows he has you like that, he does everything to keep you down and still finds a way to call you his woman. Well, actually, you become his possession.
You know, and once this bad boy know he possesses you, you know, you're not going nowhere because you define that as love when actually it's not love.
Interesting. Now, you know, before I get to this final phase, the honeymoon phase, I got to ask you, since it's been all over the news the last few months, how do these three phases, and particularly this second phase, tie in to the whole Chris Brown, Rihanna situation?
You know what? It's interesting because when I first heard about it, and I was talking to, I did a workshop today at one of the local colleges, and we were actually talking about this topic. And the key to this whole thing for me is, and this is an important aspect, women, and they'll admit this, women have to understand that men have boundaries when it comes to you expressing yourself after you're upset. You can't keep talking to a guy when you know it's time to be quiet, because we're not the type of people as individuals that can say to you, you know, you're right, I was wrong, because when you catch us in something, our ego jumps up. And the first thing we want to do is prove that it wasn't us instead of fessing up that it was. And this Rihanna thing was, she caught him. She knew he was caught, and she was hurt. And because she was hurt, she wanted to talk. She wanted to scream. She wanted an explanation. Chris Brown was thinking, I ain't got to explain nothing to you because I'm Chris Brown. Well, she's Rihanna. So the thing about this is that it escalated. Because in the interview that I saw her in, she said, you know, she couldn't see his soul in his eyes. Well, that's what happens to a guy when he's had enough, when they black out. And when they black out, the only thing left to do is to quiet the person who won't be quiet. And what he was trying to do was quiet her in a very disrespectful and physical way. He should not have touched her, and that has to be understood. No man should hit a woman. There's no excuse for that. But I do understand how some men, Chris Brown being 19, who's never had many experiences in dealing with women at this particular level, where you can talk your way out or walk away, responds to that type of stuff. He's a little boy. He's immature. And unfortunately for him, this is a lesson he can learn. Hopefully he'll learn from this and grow from it.
Good point. Finally, what is the honeymoon phase?
That honeymoon phase. You know, the honeymoon phase is like any other phase when a person gets married and things start to stop, you know, because in the beginning, everything's, you know, really great. The honeymoon phase is that area where things kind of level off, where people get into their comfort zone, and now you got to show me something else other than your arrogance, your confidence, and telling me all the things I want to hear. Once that honeymoon phase kicks in, where people have to now start to talk about the future, this is where things get a little shaky for the woman who's now with the bad boy. Because bad boys don't necessarily look towards the future. They look back towards the past. They talk about what they did, you know, what they're doing. They never talk about where they're going. And there's a nice quote that I like to put out there, you know, that's very interesting. People who focus on, you know, the past aren't necessarily the people who focus on the future because they have no future. And bad boys don't necessarily have a future. They deal in the past and the present. And that honeymoon phase is all about what are we doing next. Now we got all this out. We did all the sexing. We did all the talking. We done, we've gone all the places. You know, felt good, smelled good. What's next? That's that honeymoon phase. A bad boy doesn't have a what's next. He only got what it is. Ain't no what's next. It's only what it is.
I like that. Now, something else I saw in your book, and I can probably surmise on my own what this represents, but for our listeners, what is the vicious cycle?
You know, that vicious cycle is when things go really wrong, man. That's when the bad boy has totally lost control of his thinking. He's saying to himself, the only way for me to keep you is to beat you. Let me say it again. The only way for me to keep you is to beat you. So he goes out of his way to beat you down emotionally, physically, even sexually, to the point where you believe that he is the only person that can make you feel wanted. And that vicious cycle is dangerous for women because that's not him wanting you. That's him saying, I own you. And that vicious cycle where women misconfuse or he loves me is ownership. When the bad boy thinks he owns you, the only way for him to keep you is to hold you down. And this is a dangerous area right here because this is where domestic violence and self-esteem and women start blaming themselves and talking about all the reasons why I did this. This is not his fault. It's my fault. I shouldn't have yelled at him. That's the cycle right there. You know, and my next book, which I hope to bring out in April, talks about living in darkness, what to do when a man beats you. So it's actually going to stretch this vicious cycle out and talk about what women can do when a man has totally lost control of his wits.
Now, this is going to be off the topic a little bit, but you just reminded me of something I read on somebody's Facebook page this week. Most of the time when we talk about domestic violence, it's always assumed that, you know, it's the man whipping up on a woman.
Right.
But statistics show that I want to say roughly 25 to 30% of domestic violent cases is actually a woman hitting a man with a, like a pot or a pan or golf club or even sometimes their own fist. Well, what are your brief comments on women physically abusing a man?
Sure. It's even to the point where they, you know, back in the day, women throwing grits on the man when he sleep because he's did something he wasn't supposed to do. That's a form of abuse, you know. Those numbers don't, I think it's even higher than that. But this is the problem. And the reason why I think it's higher because it's not cool for a man to disclose to another authority, maybe a man, that his woman beats him and he ain't doing nothing about it. The roles has actually switched. It's not cool. So they hide it. They keep it undercover. The woman then thinks like the man does by saying, well, you're such a punk. You letting me beat you. I might as well go beat you. So the roles actually flip. The man's only option in this situation, because he doesn't want to hit her, and I respect that, the only option we have in either situation when provoked or being beaten is to walk away. That's the only option we have, man, because for a man, he ain't going to the police and saying, look, I want to file a domestic violence on my woman. It's not that they won't take it, but his ego won't permit him to even admit it. Even the softest man will not allow his ego to come out and tell anybody that he's being beaten by his woman. You know, because it's not something that we do. You know, so it happens a lot. I think it happens more often than the 25% that you mentioned. I think it's higher than that. And I think in any case, men or women, if your partner is beating you, you got to leave him alone. You know, because it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Because I remember, and I mentioned him in my random tidbits at the beginning of the show, Jason Kidd, now he didn't mention any type of physical, but I remember when he divorced his wife, his reason was he said she had emotionally abused him. And I found that interesting, you know, because that's not even something too many men come out and say, but yeah, he said he suffered undue emotional abuse. So anyway, I just wanted to point out that, yeah, that this abuse thing can definitely go both ways. Now, what would you say? How does a woman, well, first of all, well, I'm sure they can. I was going to say, can a woman separate fantasy from reality? A better question would be, why do you think some women have a hard, challenging time separating their fantasy romantic world from reality?
You know what? That's a great question. I'm pretty sure you've heard of this movie and may have even seen it. There's a movie that was out called The Breakup. Okay.
Oh, with Vince Vaughn.
Right. When this movie first came out, I saw the movie when it was on video. I didn't actually go to the movie to see it, but I like Vince Vaughn. And one of the questions I started asking women was, when you went to see this movie, while you were sitting there and going through this movie, in the end, did you think they were going to get back together? 9 out of 10 women said yes, they were going to get back together. I said, why would you think that when the movie is titled The Breakup? That is the title of the movie. You didn't see that movie and expected them to be back together. No, man. I can't find one guy that I asked that question to who said, oh, I didn't know that they wouldn't get back together. We knew for a fact it was over. It's The Breakup. You follow me?
That's good stuff, dude. That's good stuff.
Women have this way of fantasizing that things aren't the way they're actually going to be. They want to construct us. So when they find a man and they don't necessarily like the way he is, they want to build him. You know, they can't accept the fact that this is him. Let me change him. These are two things that women do that I think that has to be worked out and stopped. Stop thinking you can change a man, and stop thinking if you wait long enough, he'll change it to the man you want him to be. It's not going to happen. It is what it is. You either work with what you got and try to adjust yourself to that, or you find somebody else. The fantasy lives in, they think, based upon how they grow up, and this is another thing. When we were growing up, Alan, we were taught to be athletic, not to cry. When you fall, be a man, okay? Women were taught very early on. Women, when they were 15, they already were walking down the aisle. When they had their little dolls, they sat at the table with their dolls. They had little easy-bake ovens. They were married. They knew how many kids they had. They knew when they were going to the prom. They knew all this stuff happened up in their heads before they were 21. Mm-hmm. We're not thinking like that. We're thinking all about winning. Our thing is to win in life in general. So this thinking that we have, you know, are we from Mars and women from Venus? I can respect that. The bottom line is control your thinking. What you want is not actually what you get. You can't make a man into who you want him to be. And that movie, you know, if you see it 50 times, the result is still the same. They didn't get back together. I don't know, man.
This stretch right here is going, I know at some point I'm going to use that excerpt, dude, on future shows. That's funny stuff, dude. That's funny as hell. Now, what is the difference? I always hear people, mainly women, they tend to almost throw a nice guy and a good guy in the same bowl and
right.
Synonym, but most men I know tend to distinguish it. I want to say in your book you do. What would you say is the difference between a nice guy and a good guy?
Okay, a nice, you know, very close related. A good guy is what women describe too polite. He's going to be my friend. He's a good guy, you know. He's smart. He's intelligent. But I'm not attracted to him. That's the good guy. The nice guy is a guy who's attractive, but sometimes at this particular moment, I'm not ready for him. You know, he's too nice. I need somebody that's going to tell me to sit down when I know I should sit down. The nice guy is probably going to say, is going to be patient enough and try to coerce you or just won't say nothing to you at all. While a good guy, you know, he's the type of guy who just, you just want to be friends with him. You know, he's a good guy. You know, he's humorous. He's friendly. He may not be the most attractive guy, but he's the most safe guy. He's the guy that I know I'm drunk. He won't take advantage of me. Mm-hmm. Follow me. That's the good guy. The nice guy, on the other hand, is not my type. That's the definition of a nice guy. He's not my type. There's something about him that I just don't want in a man. Very similar, very different.
Now, one definition I point out in my book, Mo 1, is that a lot of people don't realize this. A lot of our English words come from Latin derivatives or Latin roots.
Yeah.
And the one for nice is actually necius, N-E-S-C-I-U-S. And in Latin, nice actually means ignorant and foolish.
Interesting.
So when a guy said, I want to be a nice guy, he's, in Latin he's saying, I want to be an ignorant, foolish guy.
Wow.
Now, something my brother said, my older brother called into my show last week, and he made a comment, and I found very interesting, and it's true. He said, you know, he just got married last year for the first time, and he's loving marriage. But he said before he got married, there was very few married guys who would promote the idea of a happy marriage. He said he almost felt like the macho ego led them to believe that it was just cool as a man to complain and say, oh, the wife is nagging me, she gets on my nerves, blah, 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 blah. So I want to ask you, why don't more men play up the idea of true love, and why, in general, for both genders, isn't true love more in fashion these days compared to, say, the middle of the 20th century or so?
You know what, that's a great question. I think back to the days where music was about love, and Mr. Manhattan, Teddy Pendergrass, Luther Vandross. You listen to their lyrics, they always talk about love. And based upon, sometimes music is the way you shape your life based upon the music that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. Not to say this music is not still available, but love today is for men. You know, you look at the old school men, they get to the point where they marry for love, then they get comfortable and say love is only a part of why I married this person. Mm-hmm. This is the thing about love that I know. Love is a process. You don't necessarily fall in love with a person. You fall in love with the feelings you get when you're with them. So any guy who or woman who falls in love is not necessarily saying it's with this person. They're saying when I'm away from him, I think about him. When I'm with him, he makes me feel complete. When I'm with him, we laugh, we enjoy each other's company. When men can't talk about those things once they finally settle into their marriage, it has a lot to do with, you know, things being normal, complacent. They stop doing the things that got them together. You know, you gotta, when you get married, man, I think it's important to have what is called date nights. You know, I have a friend that I often talk to who's one of my personal coaches, and every Thursday of the week, him and his wife go out on date nights. They still date. You know, they still do the things that got them together, having those moments where they just get away from the kids and sit down at a nice dinner and just talk without any advantages. It's a thinking game. Being married is not about feeling. It's about thinking. Thinking your way and how to make this better, better, and more enjoyable for both parties. I think today men tend to, you know how we are. Once we get in our comfort zone, give us a remote, we good. Mm-hmm. You know, we want peace in the end. You know, and any man can get peace in his house, trust me, he good. You know, and that's, you know, it's sad to say, I believe in marriage. I was once married. I've been divorced now for about 11, 12 years. And I like to get married again because it was something peaceful about that. You know, there's women today are picky, as well they should be, scared, as well they should be, and some are sure of themselves and don't give good guys or nice guys or even sometimes bad guys an opportunity to treat them well. And they make mistakes and pick the wrong guy, and all of a sudden all men are dogs. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of issues that play into relationships right now, man, that get in the way.
True. We'll go to the phone line. I see area code 562. Area code 562, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. My special guest this evening, Derek Watkins. What's your question and or comment?
Hey, Alan. Hey, Derek. I wanted to make a comment about the nice guy or good guy.
Wait, who is it?
This is Miss Mo.
Oh, okay. Hey, Miss Mo.
Hey. okay. When you were talking about the nice guy or the good guy, and I know, you know, speaking from the female perspective, one of the things, and I think someone else in the chat room immediately chimed in, and I would say that most sisters would agree with that, is that what happens is the nice guy or the good guy comes along and he exhibits too many feminine qualities. Not that it would be an effeminate man, but that soft passivity kind of thing. And so why women are more drawn to the bad boy characteristics is it's the opposite of the feminine qualities. So, you know, that aggressive, you know, you'll hear sisters say stuff like, I don't know, is there something about him? It's not that we want someone treating us bad. It's those qualities that are attractive, and it just so happens that they shouldn't be attractive, but it's that masculine quality, that craving for, you know, that take charge kind of guy, which is, you know, what most women find attractive. I won't speak for all women, but I would think most of them want a good guy. They want someone to treat them well. But the good guys have to put, I don't know, they're a little too soft or feminine, kind of. Because I have a sister trying to hook me up with a guy, and her first thing, you know, this guy speaks 5 languages, very well educated, never been married, no baby mama drama. And I'm like, okay, what's wrong with him? And she's like, he's too nice. But she's, you know, going after the guy that doesn't return her phone calls, doesn't answer, doesn't take her out anywhere. And it's because, you know, this other guy, you know, he's kind of passive. He's not doing anything.
Well, see, that's funny because all those qualities that you just mentioned is how this particular guy you're talking about thinks are great qualities, and they actually are. And I don't see them as a man as being feminine quiet. That's a guy who knows what he wants, who has things settled down. And it's funny because in the first 2 seconds of meeting someone, you pass a judgment on them, and most of the time the judgment is wrong. And the thing that's so interesting is that the guy who keeps hanging up on your sister is doing that intentionally because he controls the outcome. When you know what you want, you don't allow a man to treat you with that manner. You just say, okay, you don't want to call me, you must not be into me. Click, no problem. When you don't know what you want, when you're lonely and alone and sometimes have what is called desperate feelings, you misinterpret what you see and what you hear and what you're feeling. And the truth of the matter is the guy who talked about that learns the five languages, I know guys who like five languages, and they just into that stuff. They're not soft. It's just that when you say to him, wow, what is it? Is he too nice? Well, that's what he studies. It's just so that's just what he does. That's not who he is. That's what he does. And we are often defined by what we do instead of who we are.
Right. Well, I agree, but I talk to women all the time, of course, and that's one of the things is getting, getting sisters to realize those qualities. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm on the phone talking you off the ledge, but you chose that drama. You know, you chose that guy, and so now you want to keep me all night, up all night talking about how to get him to call you and why he's not calling you back, but hello. And the opposite of that, and I'm going to get off, and I don't know if you could speak to this or if you already did, but, you know, for the women who are assertive, because I'm one of those, I don't take any junk, you know, you got one time to slip and I'm pretty much done. And a lot of men come into my life and I'm kind of that fast-moving woman because I'm not looking, I'm a little older, so I've gotten the financial things down and the education down and the home and the car. So you're really coming to fill a niche because,
right.
You know, because I've gotten older, I've got all the other stuff. And it's not that I don't need a man. I'm not saying that. But now I know exactly the niche that you fill.
Right.
And, you know, that's really, for some men, that's a turnoff because they kind of want to come in and undo that. But it's like you can't undo that at this point because I am what I am. I'm here. So now what? And so what advice would you give to sisters like me? And there's a lot of us nowadays who have gotten, you know, because of the way the relationship dynamics are, we've acquired a little bit more. And then when you come into contact with us, we're a little bit more straightforward and firm. And I'm not speaking for the loudmouth and that sort of things, but we just know what we want.
And Ms. Mo, you know I got to correct you. You said straightforward. I want you to say you're now up front. And straightforward.
Up front and straightforward.
Well, that's a great question. And the advice I would give you is simply, and this is just from a man's perspective because I understand where you're coming from. Most men, and like you said very, very well, want to be able to provide the things that you already are able to provide. That's fine that you can do them. What you guys do sometimes is you let it be known beginning, middle, and end that you don't need him to help you in those areas. And men have egos if they don't have money. And the thing you need to understand is that our ego can sometimes supplement us from our money. Just let us contribute to you even though you know you got it. What you do too much is, in my opinion, is you make it be known that it's okay, I don't need you to do this, I don't need you to do that. I got that, but can I at least do it anyway? Can I at least do it anyway? When you take that away from a man, he feels empty. His mind says, well, she don't need me. She got all this, she got all that. So what am I here for? He moves on. Every man wants to be with a woman that in some aspect he can help her with something. And these women today who've gone out of their way, and I applaud it, to build up very great lives for themselves financially, have gotten what is called independence, which I really applaud. I have to understand that men today want to feel needed, and that boosts his ego. So if you want to keep a man around, make him feel like he's wanted and he's needed, regardless of what you have.
Okay. I'm like, I could just, in my head, everything's like bells and whistles, everything's like popping off, but I'm just going to take that.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Mo. We're coming down
you.
To our
thank
last
so
few moments. Well, I see another call, 314. I don't think I can take, well, if you got a 30-second question that Derek can answer in 30 seconds, I'm going to take it. But we down our last, like, 3 to 4 minutes. 314, you're now up front, straightforward, Alan Roger Curry. What's your quick question?
Actually, I didn't have a question. I had a statement.
Okay.
I wanted to say he had gave very good advice because as women, especially we're in St. Louis, and they are quick to be independent, and that means without a man here, versus being self-sufficient, meaning that I take her stuff because I have to, you know, not that we don't need you for anything. If I was a man, I would just, what they're really doing to black men is making them feel obsolete, and even we as black women are contributing to that because we let them know we don't need them either. The job force don't need them. We don't need them. The kids don't need them. The school don't need them. Nobody needs them except the jail.
Right.
So, you know, we really, as women, need to get off our high horses and take the S off our chest and embrace the way that we were made to be, and that is with a man.
Well said. Thank you, 314, for adding that on. Real quick, Derek, well, first of all, I've enjoyed this conversation. You're very thorough in your responses, and I've enjoyed the knowledge and wisdom that you've dropped on my listeners. Please tell my listening audience about any upcoming workshops, events, book signing events, new products you might be coming out with, anything you want to plug right now.
Well, thanks a lot, Alice, for inviting me. I had a great time as well. If anybody wants to get in touch with me, they can go to my website, www.derekwatkins.com. They can look me up. Any workshops coming in this year, I'm wrapping up. I'm working on a couple new projects. One book I'm actually working on is called Think Before You Drink, which I'm gearing towards the college scene. And my next project, which will be coming out probably in March, maybe April of next year, Living in Darkness, What to Do When Your Man Beats You, is a spinoff to this particular book right here. I have a couple of things I'm planning right now in the very near future in the tri-state area. I'm a regular guest on the Al Butler Show, WURD 900 AM. I'm around. I want to thank you for having me on, my friend. I enjoyed this night.
Oh, man, you're very welcome, very welcome. Listeners, that was Derek Watkins. Derek Watkins, pick up his book, Why Good Girls Date Bad Boys. Join me next week. I'll have Marnie on the show. Marnie will talk about the Wing Girl Method, the Wing Girl Method. And then 2 weeks from then, I will have the controversial David X. He's been here before. He's actually my most listened to archive episode to date, David X, with that raspy voice of his, David X. So until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. I will see you next Thursday, same bat time, same bat place.